this is the beginning of a relationship, because maybe you have a community I can go speak in. Maybe we can do an email swap. Like, it's not just to come on to be on your air. It's to use podcasts and podcast guesting as a tool in your strategy to couple with your visibility and your marketing.
This podcast is sponsored by AI Copywriter in a Box. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, and you can use the AI Copywriter for up to 4 different clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found The Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. According to my guest today, podcasts are the number one utilized PR tool for experts looking to scale and grow their businesses. So if you are a marketing freelancer wanting to book more clients, listen up. Hey, I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow marketer, a mom of 4, a sheep-a-doodle owner, and a margarita lover. My last two guests on the show, Rob Marsh and Lori Ann Marabito, have been about visibility. Rob talks about the authority framework for really positioning yourself as an expert. Lori Ann gives us a taste of what speaking can do for our business. And then I wanted to drill down more into, I think, the easy low-hanging fruit is guesting on podcasts. And this is going far beyond visibility. My guest today helps us monetize our speaking gigs so that we can book the clients. She is an example of booking a $50K contract from her own podcast guesting. What we're doing here is we're harnessing the power of storytelling, we're capturing attention, we're building trust, we're converting audiences using something we already know how to do as a freelancer. We just kind of have to get over ourselves when it comes to putting ourselves out there and looking for these opportunities. Today, my guest is Beth Nydick, one of my friends. I have eaten sushi in bed with her. She's the ultimate media strategist for coaches, consultants, experts, and authors. She's really good at listening to your podcast guest talk, giving you suggestions to do better, to captivate the audience, to lead it to more leads and sales. She ensures that your message converts them. She has a wonderful background in PR, TV. I mean, what this lady hasn't done, acting. And I just love the confidence she exudes, and you soak it up when she's in the room with you. She has a proven track record featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Oprah. She's been on The Drew Barrymore Show and Dr. Oz and The Tonight Show. She is a powerhouse, and she's here to help you make 10K every time you step into the mic. So let's jump in. Hey, Beth, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you continuing this conversation about visibility. First, tell everyone, hello, the usual, a little bit about you. I'm most curious how you ended up in online business.
I didn't want to get a regular job, to be completely honest. I was like, you know, my friends were like becoming real estate agents, and after my kids went to elementary school, and I was like, I've always been like a techie person. Like, I had a Radio Shack computer when I was 8, and I was on, I gotta tell you this story. I was on a message board that was about Doctor Who, which is like a British BBC show, which I didn't know existed. Remember, this was 8th grade, so it was the last century. Oh, not Doctor Who, Doctor No. And I literally wrote, does Dr. No mean you never say yes? Like, I didn't know what it was. It was very innocent. And then I realized after I got banned that I was the only girl. So they took it like a sexual way, because these were like 14-year-old boys. And I got banned because they were probably all nerds. The way that I got into digital marketing was how to use what I could do naturally to help people. I've been an OG. I've been in this field since 2007. This is not my first business or my first rodeo. But what I really love about it is the availability to have an idea, create a product around it, and then push it out, or just have an idea. Like, go, I went live on my Instagram this morning for, I think, 5 or 10 minutes, and I just talked. And I love the idea of being able to share your ideas. It goes back to my journalism training. And I really just kind of fell into it. I was teaching women how to make roast chicken and sauteed broccoli in my house. And I realized I could go on social media and share those recipes and start making dinners with people. And that went into a book deal right there, my book, which eventually turned into me running a PR firm and now teaching people how to make 10K for their next podcast appearance.
I think that's so relatable because it wasn't just one thing and stay there forever, right? I think everyone in my audience is like, how do I grab all this crazy background experience and education and then put it into a job that works? And hello, online in the marketing space.
That's it.
This is perfect.
I'm not one of those people. And I feel like many people that follow you and I are not like, I want to be a digital marketing assistant or I want to work in digital marketing. Right. I want to make an impact. Honestly, I'm not much of an impact. I'm a permission. I want to give women permission to be themselves, to shave off their trauma and just be honest and real who they are. Honestly, I come to that from a lot of being growing up in North Jersey. Like, I didn't realize how much my Jerseyness was different than I walked into this digital space and made friends and how much I wear black. But all that stuff, it really comes down to, you know, we all hate the word authentic. We all hate the word vulnerable, but it's just being you and figuring out who you is. Somebody put this quote up recently that I shared, and it was like, digital entrepreneurship is like personal development on crack. And nothing has been truer than that statement.
Oh, I agree. I feel like I am a completely different person because I accidentally started a business and went into this world. And it's almost like the have and have not. There's like, we took that matrix pill and there's a whole new world out there. And I was sharing this. This is a little TMI, but I was sharing this with my work group. I'm like, wow, I went to this divorce support group and nobody there had ever heard of boundaries. I'm like, wow, like that's like what we learn in business right away. And we push ourselves there. And as freelancers and service providers, and it just kind of clicked with me like, wow, there's so much I'm taking for granted that I'm learning on this journey. And it's applying to my personal life and how I mother. Like, it's really kind of fun. But you're right. I don't set out saying, I'm going to be a digital marketer and I'm going to be an influencer. I just knew I had talent. That what you said at the beginning is helping people. And that sounds so freaking cliche, but I was just talking to one of my marketing. She's leveled up out of assistant, as many do. And she's like, wow, I have this nonprofit. I'm so excited about their impact and their mission. And I'm like, that's what we're here for. You know, we get to use our skills for good. It feels really good.
Yeah, making a difference in people's lives. We were sharing before, I'll be vulnerable about this. Like, people do tell me often how I've affected them. And I don't know how to receive that. And I know you do the same thing. Like, we're just having a conversation. It's because we've been in this for so long. Because we've worked personal development. I did Landmark in the past. It's like you're at a certain place in your life, an age, right? I've been married 25 years. I have kids in college. Like, what that looks like is just different. And people who don't grow up in the, and I kind of did, 2007 to now. I'm not going to count the how many years that is, but it's a long time. You know, my friends who are outside the sphere don't always understand it. That's why we always go back to like your mom and your best friend and the only ones that you know that are going to like your stuff on Facebook. Everyone else is going to be a client or, you know, people in a community. It's not going to be your friends from high school. They don't get it.
No, they really don't. Okay. One thing that you have and that I want to talk about right out of the gate is confidence. Because I know my freelancers, my unicorns will struggle with that, putting themselves out there and feeling like they're ready enough, qualified enough, all of that. And there's a big part of becoming and pushing yourself to be visible that you have to borrow confidence, have confidence, fake confidence. Like, what is your mantra on there? Because before we hit record, we both talked about how we're overly confident. It's not really, it's kind of a, it's like an inside
little
joke there. How do we bring that to the table?
First of all, I have to caveat with, I grew up with my parents who are entrepreneurs. So that already gives me a level of like, you have an idea, let's figure it out and do it, right? Yeah. But what I support my clients and I've grown my kids with is the why not me? Why not you? Right? We create all these stories to get in our way. You even said them. I'm not smart enough. I'm not an expert enough. I'm not a this enough. I'm not a that enough. I'm like, well, why not you at this stage? Why not you right here, right now? It's not like when I hit send or I asked this morning, I asked somebody to be on their podcast. It's not like, I'm not nervous about it or I don't have those thoughts in it, I just do the action instead of having those thoughts block me. So I think of it this way. If you're always in action and you're always doing the stuff to move the needle, there is not time for that stuff to come in. Because when it comes in, it derails all of us. Even those the most confident, it comes in and it fucks us up, right? But if you don't even allow those to come in, then there's no space to fuck up.
You have a really good mantra for getting in the right headspace before you do any kind of speaking event. Can you share what that is?
You are the expert of your own expertise, or I am the expert of my own expertise. And what dovetails nicely into that one is I create my own possibility of success. So those are the things that I'm telling myself before I get on stage, before I go live. The other thing I do, which I don't know if you even know this, when I wake up, before I open my eyes, if I'm in that season, right? Like I'm going to start launching now, so we know I'm in that season. Before I open my eyes, I say to myself, everything works out for me. My clients can't wait to work for me. And I say it 10 times. When I do it, it honestly, it makes me feel better. It's not like the universe is listening, but if I come to the day with everything's going to work out, it's all going to be fine, and my clients want to love up on me, then it's just I'm coming to it with that level of security so that nothing gets in. Because I'm very good at ignoring the stuff that's trying to get in.
Yes. Yes. Also me, avoidant. But I do that on my dog walks. I'm like, I forget what I say exactly. This is terrible as a podcast host, but the universe is aligning for my success. And I'll just kind of say that over and over to remind me it's all working out for the good. And
right.
I will be successful in the end. So I love that because a lot of us are experts. We know more than our clients, but afraid to officially call ourselves that. And we talked a little bit about this on the episode with Rob Marsh, but it's always going to come up. And you're working with high-end, very successful female entrepreneurs, but you're giving them confidence on the back end, right? As their supporter and cheerleader. Like everybody has this issue.
Everybody, from my newbies. So I work with clients who are a couple years in to 8-9-figure business owners. And it's unbelievable when I get on a call with somebody who's been on every stage and everyone listening knows their name. And I've signed an NDA, so I can't tell you. But they're kind of like, oh, I just don't really know what I talk about. Or I can do that. No matter where you are in your business, you're having the same conversation with yourself, but you're still just a person. People who are at that stage, who we're all looking at and being like, oh my God, they do everything. They're still crying in their bathroom. Like, let's be real.
There's a lot of that happening that we don't see.
No, and I've made lots of money and I've made no money and the conversation's still the same, right? My butt's too big. That's the same conversation. Doesn't matter what size I am, where I am in my business, I want my butt to be smaller. That's a good soundbite today.
We got our hook. Okay, so you have a background in journalism like me. You both went into PR, which I think is really fun. You shut down a very successful PR agency, and now you're all in. Tell us about your business right now with podcasting and storytelling, and just give us the spiel on why this, why now, and really tie it into the freelancers, because I want them to hear me, because they're not doing it, Beth. They're not going out there. And I want everyone in my work groups to like be encouraged between you and Lorianne to go out and book their first podcast.
Oh my God. If you're not doing podcast guesting, then you're doing your business a disservice. Podcast guesting is a business tool that you are not strategically looking at or you're not strategically using. People are clumping podcast guesting into their marketing, and it's a totally different animal. It's a totally different space that you can have revenue in, right? Because if I'm looking for somebody in your work group, I want to know who they are. I've gotten the recommendation. I've looked at their social media. I've looked at, you know, their website and what their offers are. But if I can go listen to you for half an hour giggling with your girlfriend or telling me about how you love dogs, I'm going to be so much more in on you, your expertise. And even if I don't hire you, I'm going to be like, hey, did you go listen to Tara on that podcast? She's great. I think you should hire her. Right? Because most of your business is word of mouth and referrals, but also that availability to let people know what's in your heart and who you are, not just what you can do for them. Because I'm looking for somebody who's going to be my number two. That's wanting to build my brand. That means I want to hang out with you. I want to drink with you. I want to have coffee with you. I want to call you at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm crying. Right? Not really. But I want to be...
Sometimes.
I'll call Emily instead. So the podcast guest episode, right? What you're saying on that episode is so very important to tell your story, to be able to communicate what you're actually about. So I know if you're my person or not. It's actually, Emily, something that I would encourage everybody who works in that capacity and you're looking to work with people, I want you to do this. Go back to the last three person you had sales calls with and didn't hire you and send them a podcast episode that you were just on and give them a timestamp. hey, I was thinking about you. I just recorded this podcast. Go listen to timestamp 712 to 822. I think you're really going to learn something. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get another email asking to have a phone call with you, and you're going to book clients that way, right? It's being able to use your voice and your story, especially for your clients and the people listening to this podcast, is for us to get to know you. People look at podcasting as one thing. I think there's three different types of podcasts, and depending on what your goal is for your podcasting is what you should be focused on in your stories, in the kind of podcast you're on, and then how you're sharing it with your community. Because there's nothing better than telling your origin story and making me laugh or making me cry to let me know that you're my person.
Okay, there's so much I want to get into right there. There's so much. Okay, I want to get into how people blow it and how we can do better, right? Okay. I want to get into that. I've never heard you say that. What are the three different types? Like, I'm curious about.
So there's the authority podcast, there's the super niche podcast, and there's a storytelling podcast.
Okay.
So yours is a super niche podcast, mm-hmm. right? So I'm offering a product to your people that are only for your people, and they're ready to buy it, right? Like your people, if they want to add how to podcast guests correctly to their services, then they should come work with me, and then they can support their people they work for in that capacity, because everybody wants their assistant to pitch, and it's the worst thing ever. So yours is super niche. Mine is authority. I'm an authority in visibility. So you're going to come and learn from me about visibility, but I've already given you credibility for being on my platform. So you're not so much convincing them about you're the solution. You're convincing them that you're that person.
Well, give me an example of that one.
Like if you come on my podcast and we talk about your business, my people already trust me enough to know that you're the real deal. I'm not just bringing anybody on. And then when you come on and tell me about your services, then I'm like, oh, okay, now I know Emily's a quality person. I've gotten to know her a little bit and Beth trusts her. That gives me the awareness of her so that I can go find out more about her. I get more inquiries from authority-based podcast shows than anything else.
Okay, help me understand though. How is that different than a niche one?
Because that's a general audience, and a niche one, you're just talking to people who are marketing assistants or you're teaching talking to people who are VAs.
In your case, it could or could not be your audience, but does it have to be audience aligned for your offer?
I would want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you were my client. Time. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Then why be on it? If I'm talking to book writers, then I'm on the wrong podcast. Like your people mostly aren't going to write a book about being a marketing assistant. So if I'm talking about come work with me to write your book, that doesn't work.
But there's like a secondary like kind of fallout from that is that our people might turn around and tell their clients about you and hire you. So like there is that, it's not an immediate payout, you know, but yeah, no, that's good to think about.
And some people would do, but that's a might. I'm not about mites. I'm about this is working, right? Like I'm not going to waste my time. It's good, but I'd rather go be on a podcast where I'm talking directly to them because they're going to write a book. But the third one is storytelling. The third one is like the how I built this, the CEO school, cubicle CEO, like that kind of stuff. And that's about getting to know you. And that's where I really want you to make them feel. I want you to make them laugh. I want you to make them cry. It's like, oh, now you're my person, right? So there's awareness, credibility, and sales. Those are the three goals for those different kind of podcasts. And most people just go on a podcast and they don't think about it that way.
I don't even remember my first podcast. I do remember my first speaking gig, which was so nerve-wracking. I'm going to have to go back and listen and think about like what I was going through at that time. Granted, it's different now. Now, one thing I like is that you coach some of our friends to do better on their own, their episodes when they're guesting. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about how not to bomb it? Like how to do better?
Yeah.
I think about the freelancer could be going on a storytelling one. They're most likely doing an authority type talk on a marketing, you know, service related show.
100%. Or going on one that's talking to high-level CEOs or mid-level CEOs, where you're doing.
Yeah, like how to do something, like their method for doing something.
The worst thing is this. So you would read my bio if you were, you know, I'm on a podcast. You would read my bio and then you'd welcome me to the show. And then you'd be like, okay, Beth, tell us about yourself. And in your brain, you're going, you just effing told everybody about, like, what do you want me to say? I told. So most people start with, I help. Like, please. Nobody cares who you help, right? And nobody cares that you were once a social media marketer and then you became this and then you became that. Like, we are not talking to the host. We are not talking to ourselves. We are talking to the person listening that needs to hire us because we are the solution to their problem. So what are you saying in the first 3 minutes to make me continue listening to you. Because if you start with a, I help, or kind of stammer where you are, or kind of tell me like a weird story, I'm out.
I was born in 1980.
I've heard those. I have heard those. Right. And you're like, why should I care? Because I want everyone listening to think about when they're doing podcast guesting, you are talking directly to your ideal client who's listening to the podcast. And what do they need to hear? So if you are an assistant who's really organized and you start telling your origin story around like, well, I was voted most organized in my seventh grade class, I'm going to chuckle and probably keep listening because I was not voted. I was voted best boobs. It was a different conversation.
So inappropriate. Okay. New podcast title.
We should start that one. Right. But that's what I mean. It's like, what is that interesting hook? Because when I write a story for my clients or anybody listening who wants to write a story for themselves, there's a few pieces to it. There's the hook, the conflict, the journey, and then the resolution to the lesson. So we're talking about what's the hook. A lot of times I'll start with something like, well, you know, Emily, when I first started doing this, I made the biggest mistake you could ever make on national TV. That's a lean in. What national TV?
What happened?
Yes. Right. I just dropped eggs on the floor with Dr. Oz. Right. And then I dropped my credibility. So there's pieces to the story. It's not just telling the people where you came from. It's also telling them, like I was talking to a friend of ours about hers, and she was like, I just wanted money for Botox. And I was like, that's the hook. That's what you should be saying, because I just want money for Botox, right? Instead of I did this and I did that and then I went this, who cares? So thinking about what is that one two-liner that really draws people in to be interested in you. So you have to make them feel something right off the bat rather than telling them. The second thing I want to say is a timeline. This is what a lot of my high-level entrepreneurs do. You know, I go back and listen to their podcast when you're my client and they're like, well, then I was born and then I went to high school and then I did this and then I, like, who cares? No, yeah. Tell me the story of you being chased into the bathroom by the bullies in high school and you hid in the corner and then tell me what the tile looked like on the floor and what it felt like. Make me feel something because I can see it. Most people are, we watch a lot of TV, a lot of video, right? So if you're telling me a story, I'm going to see it in my head. Like even just saying that, I can see somebody running down the hallway and going into my high school bathroom. Looked like.
Like you put yourself in the story when you hear
exactly.
That.
Right. If you could give me that sensory feel, I'm starting to know who you are. And that's how I want to connect. Because people connect on stories. They connect with what you're about. And if you just give me the what you do versus who you are, you're going to get nowhere.
Is there a dance with also coming across professional and especially as a service provider, there's pressure that like, I want people to respect me and want to work with me and see me as an expert. I probably shouldn't just share any story.
No. Like, honestly, I don't know.
Like but anything that will just like grip them.
Do I like, seem unprofessional? Like, do I seem like not?
No, not at all. Oh.
At first, I've told you I want a smaller butt. Like, this is who I am. Like, honestly, like, this is who I am. But like, why are you so concerned with that? It's about peopling and people. If they want somebody who's going to be really buttoned up and professional, unless that's who you actually are, don't act like that. Be yourself. Yeah. Wear your sweatshirt. Right?
Right. Or steal your daughter's clothes.
Exactly. That's what it's about. It's about people actually seeing the real you. So if you're pretending to try to be somebody else, just because you're you doesn't mean you're not all those other things. And if that person clicks off because you're acting like that, then they weren't your people to begin with. But having the confidence in that you yourself are enough for everybody else, I want to take that off your plate and be like, you need to be you enough for you. We're concerned about what everyone else is going to think. Honestly, I don't think that much about it because that fucks me up. I think we've had this conversation. Like, I don't really scroll on social media anymore because it makes me feel bad. And it makes me feel like I hire the wrong people and my friends don't care about me. I was having a day the other night and I was like, if I just stopped showing up, no one would care. And I was like, wait a minute. I actually said you would care. You know, our brain trust would care, like the other people that would care. But like that stuff doesn't help us. And I try to do that. Like, that's not serving me. Being 52, I just don't concern myself with a lot of that stuff anymore. So the people who are listening, who are thinking like that, when you get to your 50s, you don't care anymore. And as you go through things, you don't care anymore. But that's a story that somebody told you should feel like. That's not a true feeling, right? That somebody told you, well, you're going to feel this and you're going to feel that and you're going to be... Decide what your story is and create that for yourself. It's easier and you don't have all that stuff floating around in your head all the time.
And I think my people get that message from me when it comes to discovery calls and choosing to work with a client and having that be on your terms. And we do want to show up authentically because it will be a miserable client working relationship if you are pretending to be something else. So, and that's the essence of the unicorn. It's like owning your own superpower, your passion and your talents and mixing in the right service. So I think we've got that. But for some reason, there's always that visibility block to kind of work through. I love this aspect of bringing in our origin story, being a little bit more fun and playful, showing off our personality so we do attract the right client. Should I have a couple in my pocket? Does that change from podcast to podcast? I'm thinking about the person who might be nervous doing it for the first time. Like, do I have a couple in the bank or do I share the same one every time?
Struggling to raise your rates because your client's content creation is taking you forever? Clients pay more for strategy. But you're here drowning in the writing and the doing. When do you have time to think like a strategist? The digital marketers who are getting ahead are the ones who are using AI as their marketing superpower. That's where AI Copywriter in a Box changes everything. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. I use it in my business and with my clients, and it's helped me create high converting content in minutes without getting stuck in endless revisions. When you deliver faster with better quality, you become the premium service provider clients cannot live without. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN just for being a listener, and you can use the AI copywriter for up to 4 clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes.
I actually did a story about this morning that you should do the same one all the time. Okay. I was at an entrepreneurista event and she was like, well, I've been on 10 podcasts. And, you know, everyone's heard that story. And I was like, everyone that's followed you, listen to that? No. I want you to do the same story because I want you to practice it. If you're newer, I don't care what the podcast is. Just go on podcast because you need to practice being live, having a conversation. Like, this is a media coaching piece of it, right? There's an art to actually doing this well. And we've been doing this for a very long time. So if you're just starting out and you're like, Beth, I can't do like that's so far from where I am. Just go on your friend's podcast. It doesn't even need to be published. Just keep doing it. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll do it, the more you'll get a response. Like, I love when I get DMs be like, you're so fucking funny. And I'm like, I don't consider myself funny. Or like, I love that you're from Jersey. And I'll be like, hell yeah, leopard and FUs. Right? Like, but that piece of, I don't want to be forward facing. I don't want people to attack me. I don't want to get trolls. I don't want to get this. I don't want to get that. That is all something somebody told you is going to happen. I get very little trolling. I get very little hate. It was 2 years ago. I had put a filter on whatever and somebody called me a peanut face. I was very tan. I guess I looked like a peanut. I have a long face.
Or are you wearing a monocle?
No, I don't know. Right. But I literally screenshot it and tagged them and said, hey, at least I made you feel something. So that's what I want everyone to take away from this piece of the conversation is like, you make them feel good, you make them feel bad. I don't care. It's learning how to make people feel something so they remember you and know who you are.
I love that because you gave me that piece of advice when I was referring to my hate mail that I got this week. And you're like, at least you made them feel something. Yeah. Like, yes.
Any PR is good PR. That's what I was thinking about because, you know, I DL wanted to be a celebrity in my past life, right? Yeah. And it doesn't matter if they get good press or bad press, it's still press.
And then you hit the nail on the head practicing. I think about my first lives. I think about all of my peers who also started 5 years ago. Like, they sucked too. And now they're speaking on stages. And, you know, ignore the 18-year-old boy on YouTube who's going to make a comment about your forehead. Like, he's nobody. It doesn't matter. He's not even your ideal person. So move over and move on. Wow. This is really fun to think about when I think about my freelancers really stepping into being experts and making money and putting their name out there. And so your framework is about also how to monetize that and make 10K out of that podcast appearance. And so it sounds like we go in very strategic with the who, the opening stories, but then how do we make 10,000? Tell us.
It's from doing all that stuff. So I call it the Mike's method, right? It's the messaging, it's the interview, it's the CTA, and it's this, the scale and strategy. Because if you're not telling your people who are listening to come work with you, then I would say you're doing a disservice to yourself and to them, right? It's not like, hey, if this really resonated with you, you should come. Hey, dude, if you like my vibe, DM me vibe. I'm going to send you something special. Like, depending on what it is, but what usually happens is somebody gets in your DMs because you've made them feel something and you've given them permission to contact you. Like everyone listening right now, I look at my own DMs. You have a question. You hate me. You like me. Whatever it is, I don't care. Send me a message. And I say that on most of my podcasts. I say that in most of my interviews because that's the way you start a conversation. The way to use a podcast interview is to promote it on your social media, is to promote it on your email marketing, is to collaborate with the person that you're working with. But it's also being able to use the asset as a tool to get people into your DMs because let's be honest, we just want people in our email list, right? Like that's what we're trying to do from a podcast. We're trying to have conversations and get you into our email funnels. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about it up here. I'm like, no. Give me your fucking email so I can send you my shit. Like that's, to be really honest about it, like that's what we want. I want people in my messages saying, hey, I love you. Hey, I hate you. And I want you in my email so that you can come to my next webinar and do my next challenge. So to be able to make 10K is because you're doing all this stuff to connect with your audience. The best thing you can have happen is someone get into your emails or your DMs and be like, hey, I've been watching you for 3 years. It's finally time. Let's have a conversation. Let's give you an example. I talked about this on Ellen Yin's podcast, dropping a name, Cubicle to CEO. I love her podcast. But she was like, how did you do it? So the biggest contract I ever made was from a woman who had been listening to my, like following me and then saw me on stage in person and then listened to some of my podcast and DM'd me exactly that. I've been watching you for years. It was so nice to meet you at the event. I just listened to X podcast. When can we have a conversation? That turned into a $50,000 contract.
Wow.
That's what I mean. And the example I gave before of like sending your past clients your podcast, that turned into a client of mine, my client Heidi, last time I checked was a $14,000 contract. And everything in between, because you're allowing people to see who you really are, right? Your social media and your email marketing and all that stuff's giving them the message of how. But once they know that you're their person, that's when they give themselves permission to reach out and say, hey, what about you?
Do you hear about, because I hear about this, people who finally book a big podcast and nothing happens?
That's because they do nothing with it. I was just on a big podcast and I literally said to her, I've been watching what people have been doing for your podcast and they barely share it, barely share it. And I have one coming out with Lori Harder, who I adore. She's amazing. And you know, when you meet somebody, you're like, oh, you're just as cool as I thought you were going to be. But I promoted it and she promoted it when we recorded it. I sent an email out about that it's coming out. I did another post with her video about that we just recorded it and my video on my social media. It's coming out in 2 weeks. I'm going to send another email out. We're going to do a live the morning of, and then I'll be promoting it for the next year, along with Ellen's podcast and this podcast, right? It's not about being on once, because what people normally do, and you know it blows my mind, is they put it in their story once and then they move on. Or they do one post and maybe add it to an email and they do nothing else with it. I promote the podcast that I've been on usually every 3, 6, and 9 months.
I love that. And those are my favorite guests too. I see it. I see it come up in Smarter Q. I know I'm on the evergreen version, but I love it as the podcast host.
Right. And that's the way that you get to come back on next year.
Of course, or get a referral. Like, this is a good guest.
Right. I'm on the same podcast over and over again because I do stuff like that. And because I don't think that being on a podcast, like if I didn't know you, most people would come on your podcast, share it once in their story, then never talk to you again.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's happened.
Right. Instead, what I do and what I teach my people to do is like, this is the beginning of a relationship because maybe you have a community I can go speak in. Maybe we can do an email swap. Like, it's not just to come on to be on your air. It's to use podcasts and podcast guesting as a tool in your strategy to couple with your visibility and your marketing.
I could not agree more. And this is just hammering home why we need very savvy marketing assistants, podcast assistants to help get the episode out and keep the guests in the loop, right? With that follow-up, because I've been on podcasts where they don't even tell me it got published, right? And then there's the promotion going into the Zoom file, getting the screenshots and teasing it everywhere. But oh my gosh, you hit something that makes me really salty and I'm going to share it here. But the podcast guest who's the podcasting whore on all the shows and then doesn't promote your show at all. I've even had guests unfollow me after they've gotten on my show or very early on because, you know, it took a while to get going.
Yeah.
And I just like, you are a user out there. And I really believe in karma that's going to catch up with them because that's just not the name of the game.
Karma's my favorite because Karma wins.
Like, no, but Karma won't do it.
They have no strategy around how they're using podcast guesting because most people will be like, oh, I'm going to go on a podcast. My friend asked me to be on a podcast, and then they go on and have a conversation. And you're like, why did you waste your time? This is how I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you charge $50 an hour as an assistant or $100 an hour to be an assistant, if you're not making at least twice that going onto a podcast and spending an hour recording it, prepping for it, whatever it is, then what are you doing wrong? Because this needs to be an activity that you're making money from, not just something you're doing to put out there because you're supposed to be doing it. And I want you to think about the people that are listening. I want you to think about how the people you're working for are seeing it also. Because if you can come to them and be like, hey, Andrea, you know, I know you're on these three podcasts. This is how I'm thinking about we can promote it. We can use the assets. Like, you're going to be a freaking genius. And I work with a lot of assistants because they want to be able to serve their founders better. I'm really tired of people coming to me and be like, the woman I'm working for wants me to just start pitching for her. Do you think that's going to work? And my answer is like, no, it's never going to work. It's going to get her on platforms, maybe, but not the one she should be on.
Not worth your time, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was getting to it. Like, it's not worth their time to do that versus like, who are you friends with? Like, my marketing assistant's friends with this marketing assistant and that marketing assistant. When you all work together and get your people on the right shows and then promote it together, you know, we have a podcast gang that we're a part of. Like, we're really promoting each other's shows so that we can all grow together. I think to try to do it on your own is really not worth your time. And plus, to not have a plan for the woman or man that you're working for so that you can help their business grow, so that you can grow in their business or you can make more money or whatever it is that your goal is. Why aren't you doing it? Because to just start creating a list of podcasts they should be on and then sending cold emails, I know everyone's thinking that gets me nowhere.
No. Oh my God. I'm so glad you said that because I don't think any of those cold pitches has ever resulted on a guest for my show. I have helped clients pitch, but it was strategic relationships, but then right. They had to do the work. You know, who's accepting guests? Like, what are their most recent? Like, you can slim down the research process. I don't think the whole thing can be done by a VA or an agency.
Like, if you cold pitch me, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And if it's a bad cold pitch, I'll email you back. This was bad. If I'm being salty.
I don't even think I take the time to do that. But like the number of like bros who are pitching me right now, I'm just like, ugh, stop, you guys. Like the answer is no.
No, I got one last year from somebody I know who had hired somebody to do it for her. It was like an agency. And I had to call her and be like, dude, this is bad. Like people are doing this in your name and it's bad. And if I didn't know you, I would have written you off.
Oh my goodness. I'm glad because I know there are some baby clients out there who are like, I want a marketing assistant to do everything and video editing and podcast pitching. And then they're frustrated when it's not 100% conversion. And so, no, it just doesn't work that way.
Well, it goes back. This is a tool that we use to build our business. It's not just some piece of marketing or piece of visibility. It's actually a tool you need to have strategy with so that you can use it. Otherwise, stop. Stop doing it and tell the person you're working for, or even for yourself, like if you're not going to use this for good, then you're using it for evil, which means it's a time suck. You look bad because I do look and see how you're promoting other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be on your show if you're not actually doing it.
Which I have been on those shows too, where they did nothing. I'm like, why should I do all the work either? But it's such a letdown.
It really is.
It doesn't further the relationship. And that's really the goal. It's not just that one appearance.
No, we all want to make money, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing this so that the people listening, some of them are going to come into my funnels and some of them are going to end up working with me so they can better serve the people they work for. And then the other side of it, Em, is like, oh, Beth was on Emily's podcast. Oh, I should have Beth on my podcast. There's so many different sides to it. So I'm on this Lori Harder's podcast coming up. Do you know how many people have reached out to me to get an intro?
Oh,
yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm flabbergasted. And that's my husband's word. I'm flabbergasted that people think who don't really know me, who maybe I've like interacted with a couple times, that I'm going to go introduce them to somebody who I actually have a relationship with. The same way that being on your podcast, people might ask me for an introduction. But if I don't really know you, then why am I going to introduce you to my friend? Because it's all about relationships. If I've been on your podcast and we've had a coffee chat and we've supported each other, if you want to intro to somebody I know, of course. Then I can talk from a place of love and a place of warmth rather than this person wants an intro because they're trying to get somewhere. Do you need to have relationships with a podcast host and the other people that you want to be on their platforms? And I mean their stage, their podcast, their Instagram Live, their LinkedIn Live, whatever it is. It's about creating this relationship. It's one of the reasons I'm excited. You know, Selena Su's book, Rich Relationships, is coming out. And that's about the same thing, is how you can really serve your community, be a part of the community, and really have a great relationship so everybody wins versus what am I in this for? Because I wrote about this recently about a transactional relationship. And ooh. I'm done having transactional relationships. I didn't realize I was having this one until she asked for something and I couldn't serve her. And she flipped out. That's what.
Gosh.
Yeah, I will talk about it.
Wow. And sometimes we get brought into that as the marketing assistant trying to make something out of that transactional relationship and like setting us up for failure too.
This business is all about relationships and all about having each other's back and having that boxer group that you can cry to at 5 o'clock in the morning. But going back to the strategy of it, everything else in your business has a strategy. You're using strategies to do something in your business. Why is podcast guesting not a piece of that? That's what I'm trying to change. So if everyone out there is listening, DM me podcast strategy and I'll send you something special that I just created for Emily's audience. And I mean it. Strategy is the way that you win with podcast guesting. Not having a strategy, I always say, is leaving 10K on the table.
Now, I want to ask you how to close up our podcast guesting appearances. But first, do you have an offer to help us? Are your offers mainly for like our clients who are bigger? Like, tell us how we could work with you or send clients to you.
Everybody listening and your clients can work with me. I have different ways. I work with different kind of people. I work with people who are from assistants to designers to authors and coaches and everybody else. It's really about creating that strategy for your specific business. But what I'd love to offer your clients is my 10K podcast profit playbook. It's a step-by-step checklist on what you should be doing before, during, and after every podcast so you too can make that 10K.
Oh, that's amazing. And also very meta because we can apply it to our client work.
Yeah.
Okay.
You look like a genius.
Yes. Yeah. Especially if you just do a little bit more, like that's always what I'm pushing my people to do is like think about the next step because I don't have enough time. You know, even with our show, I did a quick story and I'm like, I need somebody who's like really deep in the business who understands like what to do to assist me as I jump from meeting to meeting. Okay. You helped one of our friends like just absolutely nail a podcast interview. I heard it. I gave her a compliment. I'm like, you did this brilliantly. And she's like, thanks. It was all Beth. So I think my biggest like fumble, especially when I was the beginning, is that pitch at the end, that CTA. What you just did is brilliant. But do you have any other advice for closing out the interview? It's always awkward AF on my show. But like, if you're the guest, what could we do?
Okay. So I don't want you to wait till the end. If you go back and listen, I've dropped ways you can work with me. I've talked about wanting you to get in my funnel. You know, because we're friends, we have like a different conversation.
Yeah.
But I like you to drop it in the first 5 minutes of the conversation. And I mean like, well, you know, I was working on my freebie right now. Oh, my freebie right now is like how to make 10K from your next podcast appearance. It's a checklist. I'll tell you all about it. You know, and maybe you should put it, you know, like having that like real conversation within there is always my best way of doing it. So that when you get to the end and they're like, so where can they find you? You could be like, well, I talked about it before, but it's the same thing. Just DM me the word podcast strategy and I'll send you something special or hit my website. But the biggest mistake people make at the end is they tell them 5 things to do. You can find me on Facebook at 1234, but on Instagram, I'm 4321. And then on LinkedIn, I'm 1ABC. Ah! Like, I don't tell people to go to my website because no one can spell my name. And when I spell it, people laugh because I say, it's Beth Nydick, NYDick. And people go, and then they don't listen. Then the word dick.
Yeah.
Right? So I send them to my Instagram because I want you to not only DM me, but start that conversation. I want you to like my Instagram because I'm only like 40 people away from 5,000. So I'm promoting that right now. Right? I'm getting there. Right. It's what are you promoting? But it's got to be that one thing.
I love that. I usually try to stick to Instagram. It's also where I'm showing up the most consistently. Okay. And then obviously, I'm not even going to ask you that question because you just said it. Okay. There's one other thing I just think you're very brilliant at. And I think maybe we need to figure out how we can collab on this, but those credibility drops. What's the best way a freelancer could do that on their first episode?
Drop names. Like drop the names. if you have to ask permission, ask for permission. I always like to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. You know me about that. But like literally like, hey, you know, I was just working with my client. Her name's Emily Regan. She's amazing. She's a unicorn. Go find her. Give them love. But I want to caveat that with anyone that you mention on the podcast, make sure you're tagging them. I'm going to tag Ellen and Lori. And we talked about Brenna. Like I'm going to talk about all of our friends. I'm going to tag them because that also helps them. Oh, people are talking about Brenna McGowan on podcast that she's not even on, right? Yeah. Oh my God, you're talking about Ellen Yin. She's not even on the podcast, right? It shows them love and it's organic. That's not a strategy I'm doing like to get them to do something. That's a strategy I use because I want my friends to win and I want to promote the people who I do things with. So it's not the, like I was on this. It was like, it's in the conversation and making it a natural piece of it. I work with amazing women. You know, I'm going to tell you about one of them. I'm going to show her some love. So it's not about you. It's about how the audience should pay attention to maybe other people you're working with and the level of people you're working with. Right?
I love
how you're being seen, how your business, your brand is being seen in the ethos. Oh, she's not a beginner and she works with all these high-level people, but she also says, I also work with people who are starting out their business, who are 3 to 5 years in. Right, I've said all that stuff during our conversation, so people don't think, oh, she works with Lori Harder of the world. I do, but I also work with people like my client Heidi, who has a design business, you know, or other people that I think I've mentioned without names in their business, depending on where they are. So it's all levels. You're just explaining who you are and where you are rather than I have to drop her name so people think I'm somebody.
Yeah. Well, Beth, this has been so amazing. Where can people connect with you? Just kidding.
On Emily Regan's podcast, Unicorns Unite.
Thank you. I think this is so helpful. That checklist is going to be amazing. Thanks for being on the show and sharing your insight. I know someone's going to be motivated to put their name out there, put their name in the hat for a podcasting opportunity to be a guest. So thank you.
Okay. So I want to give everybody a challenge.
Okay.
If you've listened to this podcast and you've done one thing that we told you to do, go in our DMs and let us know. But if you go live on Instagram and you talk about what you did, not like I did this thing, but talk about it and tag me, I will reshare it just for Emily's people. I think it's so important for people who are a little farther along to help those come along. So please take on that challenge. I'd love to share you on my Instagram.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Thank you. That was amazing. I love Beth to death. I'm so grateful that she shared her expertise. I just want to harp on a few things. One, this whole DM me podcast and sending the resources. This is something you can absolutely do as a marketing assistant, social media manager, even if you're a tech person. We just had an episode with Katie Widrick about these ManyChat funnels. So this is something you could do. This is about getting better at the buzz before, the promotion after, and letting go the shame and the shoulds with cold pitching. So you can help your clients do this. And especially if you're the podcast producer, manager, assistant, helping these guests get the assets they need to so they can follow this checklist too. We have an email that goes out after someone's a guest on our show. And we're like, hey, these are 5 different things you could do to promote this show. And trust me, we're paying attention. Who are the guests who are good, who actually promote it? And then utilizing the same podcast appearance on thank you pages, in welcome sequences, not just on social media. My team and I love to get the transcript from my podcast guesting so that A, we have that documented for ChatGPT. Also, we can go in and really quickly write emails and other social posts and remember what I said. I also always try to get a screenshot of me and the podcast host because I don't always get the video recording back. So you could absolutely do this. If you are a freelancer wondering, how do I step into these bigger rates? Get on your first show. We have some trainings in the work group about podcast guesting, about pitching, about media kits and speaker one sheets. That's what's so cool about this business is you have the visibility and marketing knowledge to do it for yourself. You just need to lean into what Beth said with that confidence and that mantra she shared. I am the expert they need to hear today. Tell yourself that right before you get on a show, right before you do an Instagram live and practice. Also in our work group, we put you through an assessment and some of you are coming out in phase 4 or 5 where you do need to turn your visibility into credibility. You need to really step it up when it comes to putting yourself out there. And I don't mean dancing on TikTok. I mean starting with here. And so if you are a workgroup member and you're a phase 4 or 5, it's go time. All right, I'll see you in the next episode. Unicorns Unite.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns Unite.
Podcast guesting is a business tool. Podcast guesting is a business tool.
Tool? No. Oh my God.
It's a tool. It's a tool.
Got a blooper out of you.
Okay. I'm like, stool? I use one in my closet every day to reach my sweatshirts.